to receive it. Why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? I think I'm correct on this statement. Well, I know I am. Every church that God Almighty has graciously bestowed the gospel of free grace, this is usually going to be the statement that's made about that place. Men, women in other places will say, "What makes you think that you're the only one in this place that's right?" Now, I know that it's very easy. Man by nature is puffed up. He's puffed up in pride and arrogance, and it is only by the grace of God that any man, any woman is made by God's grace to be brought down in pride. I know that. I know that that statement is an arrow shot at those that truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, love His gospel. I know that men by nature despise the gospel. They despise it. I was talking this week, Brother Scott, and he was telling me about a conversation someone had with him recently. Just very arrogant, very disrespectful. Let me ask you something. Wherein do we differ? What is the difference? Obviously, there's a difference. Obviously, there's something that is different. We're not working together with all men, all different denominations. We're not. You know you're not. There's certain times that men have said things to me, and I know to other preachers, and they said this, and we're going to have a big get-together. A bunch of pastors going to get together. When I was in Franklin, a fella called me, and he said, "We're going to have a big get-together on Saturday morning, Holt Square, there in Franklin, Tennessee. Got a big monument there in the middle of the town, a little town square, and little banks, and courthouse, and this, that, and the other. And we're going to all get together on the square, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. All going to get together and pray together. We're going to pray for the salvation of Franklin. You know, we count on you to be there." And I said, no, can't be there. "Why?" And I said, "Well, I just don't feel that I can be there." just can't. I don't have like spirit, like communion. I just can't. Wherein do we differ? What's the difference? Paul, writing in the book of 1 Corinthians, asks that question: "Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" Now, let me tell you, that phrase right there that I just read, "Who maketh thee to differ? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? The word who, right there, and the word what. Who maketh thee to differ and what hast thou is the same word. Who and what. And the word maketh. Who maketh thee to differ? The word make and the word differ is the same word. Same word. It means distinguished. Who distinguished you? And so when you read it, it says this. For who distinguished thee to distinguished? And who hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now that's what it says. Who distinguished you that distinguished you? And who do you have that you didn't receive? Who distinguished you to be distinguished? And who do you have that you didn't receive? Salvation is not an event. It's not an event. Man by nature speaks of salvation as it's an event. Yeah, I've been saved. I've kind of entered into that event. That's just like when the Lord Jesus Christ came to Martha and he said, your brother will rise again. She said, I know that my brother is going to rise again in the resurrection. And he said, Martha, he said, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is not an event. The resurrection is a person. Salvation is not an event. Salvation is the possession of a person. Who do you have? Who makes you to differ? And who do you possess that you didn't receive? What makes us differ? Today we want to consider something about the difference of one man over another. Who maketh thee to differ? If we seek to know the difference between one person and another person, the first thing that we've got to consider is the similarity of all men by nature. To see something of the difference between men, you have to know where they came from to begin with. So first point this morning, and I'm preaching this morning on this subject, who maketh thee to differ? You believe you're different, do you? I mean, if you do, who made you different? If you believe that you're different, who made the difference? All those who have been made to differ, first of all, came from the same source. They were all born in Adam. Now, if you're going to recognize something of difference, where did we come from? Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience." Now listen. One man's disobedience. Many were made sinners. Adam's sin, the sin of Adam, is ours by being associated with Adam. In Adam, all die. His sin, Adam's sin, is our sin by imputation. Adam was our representative, the first Adam. When Adam sinned against God, all mankind sinned before Almighty God because Adam was all mankind. Adam. All mankind sinned. And in Adam, all die. By Adam's sin, all are made sinners. Where did we come from? If there's a difference in me and you and anybody else, where did we come from? Is there a difference? Evidently there is. Paul asked the question, who maketh thee to differ? Where did we come from? Psalm 14:2. This is one of those passages right here. Whenever anyone says, when they begin to speak of election, predestination, I'm telling you, I think to myself, I think of the explanation that men give concerning God's electing grace. And this is what they said. God looked down, they said, looked down, and he saw, that some would choose him. So he saw that they would choose, they would choose him, and so therefore, he chose them. He elected them. That's the only way a man can explain by nature election. God looked down in time and saw who would choose him, who would receive him. So he elected them unto salvation. I said, yeah, God did look down. Psalm 14, verse 2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. God did look down in time. Next time, if you ever hear anyone say, God looked down and saw who would choose him, and so he chose them, that's a lie. That's a lie. So first of all, God looked down to see if there were any that did good, that any that would seek him. There was none. There was not one. From the first book of the Bible, God, the Scripture says, saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that I'll not labor this one. But I'm going to tell you something. You talk about minutely considering man. Every imagination of the thoughts, I believe, I can't even enter into that. I mean, I think something. And my mind just, it's my thoughts, You know how thoughts are. They just kind of, here, there, here. Every imagination of the thoughts. The Scripture says, of that man's heart was only evil continually. Outside of Christ, man by nature, you, me, all of us, every imagination of the thoughts of our heart, evil. Right now you say, well, now wait a minute. Good grief. You mean to tell me why I'm sitting in church? Well, I got up this morning, it's raining. I got up and got ready and took a bath and, ate breakfast, and I'm here this morning. I'm telling you that man by nature, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is evil continually. Our problem is that we don't realize the depth of what we are. We see ourselves as being pretty good folks. A member, see, Katy Baptist Church. I mean, we soldiers. We stood for the truth. I'm telling you that the imagination of the thoughts of our heart is evil continually. How abominable is man with drinking iniquity like water? That's what Job 15:16 says. Man is evil. Isaiah 64:6, We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Mark 7:21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Where did we come from? I'm telling you, we all came from the same pit. There's not one person in this room this morning, in themselves, that's worthy to have one thing said about them. Not one. We've never had a good thought. A good thought. We've never had a righteous thought. We've never done one thing that is acceptable before Almighty God in ourselves. We're all out of the same pit. Who maketh thee to differ? Secondly, there is a difference between some as to their standing before God. There is a difference. Okay, we're all in the same pit. But obviously, there is a difference. We're all the same, naturally speaking. We have nothing to glory in, naturally. But obviously, there's a difference. God said in Genesis 6, I will destroy man whom I've created. I'm going to do that. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't anything, remember, where Noah was. That's point number one. There was no difference in Noah and anybody else. Noah's imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was evil continually. Noah was a low-down, good-for-nothing scoundrel, just like you and just like me, by nature. Noah was a sinner. Noah was dug out of the same pit. There was no difference in Noah. Man, by nature, is the same. But obviously, there is a difference. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah didn't do anything. Almighty God just looked on him in favor. Noah found grace in God's eyes. Not in Noah's acceptance of God's, not in Noah's free will, not in Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Exodus 2:25 says, God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. That word respect means He knew them. He knew them effectually to spiritual Israel. Remember, Israel of old is a picture of spiritual Israel. God looked upon them and had respect unto them. Why? Because they were a greater nation, or because they were... Why? Because He chose to do so. There's a difference. We're all dug out of the same pit. But some, the Scripture reveals, there is a difference. Some honestly and willfully come in heart to Christ. Now, the Scripture says that man by nature will not seek God. No man seeks God. But the Lord said, they that seek me, find me. No man can come. No man can come. Except the Father which has sent me, draw him. No man can come. You cannot come. That has to do with ability. I had someone ask me one time. They said, you say that no man can come except God Almighty draws him. I said, that's right. They said, you say that no one will come or can come unless God Almighty draws him. from the beginning, chose them to salvation. I said, that's right. That's right. They said, what if somebody sincerely wants to, and they're not one of the elect? What if somebody really does? I mean, they really do. What if they want to, and they're not one of God's elect? I said, the Scripture says that they won't. No man seeks God. That scenario is hypothetical and makes sense to the human reasoning. But the Scripture says, Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power. Leave a man to himself, and he will not come. He will not come. But some do. Some come. The Scripture says in John 3:18, he that believeth on Him, that is Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Lord said, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Romans 8:1 says, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To walk after the flesh, I'll make this real easy. That's another that's real abuse. People talk about, well, I was walking in the Spirit. As if that there's a time, I've said this before, as if there's some time that you're walking a little bit more holy, you know, like, you know, kind of, and usually they're walking in the Spirit. That means to them. It means I've walked a little bit more spiritually today, a little higher plane, you know, a little bit more aware of the Lord. I've walked in the Spirit. Now, some people walk in the flesh, you know, and it's like they kind of flip-flop back and forth, you know. I was in the Spirit this afternoon between 2:45 and 3:15. Then I got back in the flesh about 4 o'clock, got mad, but then I got back in the Spirit. To walk in the flesh is to walk as an unbeliever. To walk in the Spirit is to walk as a believer. There's times, I'm going to tell you something, when you don't feel saved. Feeling. We go by feelings. That's where we go. Walking in the Spirit is to walk believing God. That's bottom line. That'll help you a lot. I hope it helped me. It is at this point when men say, okay, I know that we're all dug out of the same pit. All right, I know we're all sinners. But obviously there is a difference, because some believe and some don't. I'll agree with you. All men by nature, they'll say that. I believe that. Man by nature will say, if a man believes on the Lord Jesus, he shall be saved. Anybody will say that. Anybody will say that. I dare say there's many churches that I'll find this morning that won't say, I agree with you. I believe man's dug out of the same pit. I believe that there is a difference, because some of them come to the Lord and some of them don't. It's in the heart of natural man to believe that a difference is made as to a man's standing before God because of obedience. All men, did that statement make sense? It is within the heart of natural man to believe this. They'll say, I believe that there's a difference between some and others because of obedience. Some obey and some don't. Anybody will say that. I saw someone the other day, a little thing here on it says, born again. Born again. What that means is he believes that because of me believing on the Lord, being born again, I've received Him. He offered Himself to me, and I believed. Man by nature will readily say, I believe that all fellows, all men, all women are dug out of the same pit. I believe we're all sinners. And I believe this, that there is a difference, because some believe and receive the Lord and act in obedience before Him. I believe that. The Pharisees believed that they were righteous before God and not like other men are, but the Lord told them that they were whitened sepulchres full of dead men's bones. There are some that truly believe, though. There are some that truly cast themselves upon the Lord for mercy and from the heart believe unto salvation. They do. They do. Here is a fact. We're all dug out of the same pit, and man by nature cannot come to Christ. Why? Because he's dead spiritually. He's dead. That makes sense in every realm to the natural man, except when it comes to salvation. That makes sense. Talked to Sean yesterday. Sean told me he went squirrel hunting. Shot a squirrel. Shot him dead. Dead. I tell you what, how long do you think it's going to take that squirrel to jump up and run back up that tree? Long time. Death equals inability. Cannot do it. We believe that in every realm. Someone dies, they're in a casket. You know and I know. They're not coming out of that casket. You know that. They're not coming. They're not moving. They're not going to respond. They're not. They're not. Why does man think that when the Scripture says we're dead, trespasses and sins, makes a man think that he somehow still has the ability to elevate himself back to God and to respond to something? The Scripture says he cannot do. Why do we believe that? Because the heart is desperately wicked and it's deceitful above all things. And it is the biggest liar in this world. The natural heart. We're all dug out of the same pit. But there is a difference. There is a difference. There are some. There are some that came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There are some to whom it shall be said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. My friend, there are some that right now, by faith, they behold Christ and soon shall by sight behold Him. There are some right now that shall delight themselves in the Lord. There are some right now that truly, truly from a new heart say, He is my strength. And those who overcome, will it be granted? Listen to this, Revelation 3. This is amazing, 3:21. To sit with Him in His throne, even as He is set down with the Father in His throne. Revelation 3:21. There are some that truly will. There's a difference. But in closing, it's going to be my answer, my question. And this is the question that is absolutely the question of every person here that truly knows Him. Who? Theta Decker. We're all dug out of the same pit. Truly, there is a difference. Who maketh thee to differ? Who distinguished you? Who called you out of spiritual darkness into His light? Who gave you the power to believe? The unbelieving heart says, I did it. False hope says, I exercise my right to choose and to accept God's offer of salvation. I'm born again.
The Lord said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must. You must be born again. Why? Because man is the way he's born the first time will never come. You must be born again. Who maketh thee to differ? Man says, I reach down by my own bootstraps, grab hold of them, and pull myself out of the slough of the pond, and I exalted myself by my own free will to a state of justification before God. A lie. That is a lie. By my faith, in obedience, I have done all that is required to answer to God's holy law. I did it. Who maketh thee the difference? Man says, I made the difference. I decided one day to walk down the aisle and come up and shake a man's hand. And I decided to give my heart to Jesus. And he was standing right there with his arms open wide. And I knew that if I took one step toward the Savior, my friend, he'd receive me. Well, I say this. If you take the first step, you take them all. If you take the first step, then salvation is not of the Lord. Salvation is by your power. Salvation is by your will. Salvation is by your choice. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Yes, it does. The Scripture, nowhere, and I challenge anyone to show me one place in the Word of God that proves salvation to be by the works of obedience of one man or one woman born in Adam. Show me. Who maketh thee to differ? No, I'll tell you what the Scripture says. Almighty God, who is the one who has set a difference between one man and another, is God. To some, the Scripture reveals He has everlastingly loved them. To some, He has left them to themselves. Jacob and Esau. Some, He has been pleased to show mercy and chosen them in Christ before the foundation of the world that they be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's what Ephesians 1:4 says. He did all this according to His own will and purpose and good pleasure. A few minutes ago, Brother Mitch was reading something, and as he read it, I thought to myself, boy, I'll tell you, what a word of truth. He read this Scripture, James 1, and verse 18. Listen to this. Let me ask you this. If Scripture means anything, what does James 1:18 say? It says, of His own will, begat, reborn, birthed us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of His creature, of His own will, of His own will, of His own will. Man say, but what about my will? What about my will? The Gospel of John, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 13, is talking about men that were born. It says, which were born, that is, reborn. Born from above. Not of blood. Not because you were born in this family. I've said before, my children are not believers because they were born into my family. They're just not. You men here that are sons of Brother Scott, believers because you were born to believing parents. You're just not. Not blood. That's what that means. They're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. I could desire my children to be born again. Born again. I know that by nature someone will say concerning children, we need to get them down the aisle, need to get them saved, we need to get them, make a profession of faith. I don't desire that my children be without Christ. I don't desire that, but I'm going to tell you something. I can't rebirth them. I can't. I do not have the ability to take in and remove a heart of stone and give them a new heart. I just don't have it. I could wish that they'd come to Christ. I wish they would. But men are not born by blood. They're not born by the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. What part of that do we not get? They're just not born by the will of the man. Well, I exercise my free right. My will, I exercise. What will? What will? You must, Nicodemus, be born again. Almighty God must give a man life. Salvation is the gift of God. Someone says, well, what it is, it's a gift that's offered. But all I have to do is receive it. And if I'll receive it, then, wait a minute, that's salvation by works. That is salvation by works. And I don't care how you try to justify that it's not, that is salvation by works, by your works. Salvation is the gift of God. Brother Tim James made a statement one day, and he says, Almighty God, by His good pleasure, by His purpose, by His power, saves a man. And then tells him, I save him. And that man believes it. God Almighty, by His infinite wisdom and power, and grace reaches down and shows mercy to one that's not looking for Him. He is not. Salvation is of the Lord. Period. There is a difference. Then that's the last question. Who made the difference? Was it you? Or was it you and the Lord? Or was it the Lord? He said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. On whom I will, I'll have compassion. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Salvation is by grace. You know what the difference is? If it just came right down to it. And willing, I'll preach on this tonight. The bottom line on the difference. Someone said, what's the difference in what y'all believe and what we believe? We're all talking about salvation. We talk about basically the same thing. What's the difference, they say? Bottom line is this. How can God be just? Justify a sinner. How can God be just? The soul of the sinner is going to die. Is that true? That's right. How can God be just and justify a sinner? Tonight, I want to preach, Lord willing, when Abraham asked the Lord, shall the judge of all the earth write? Really? Who maketh thee the difference? Man's all dug out of the same pit. But obviously there is a difference. And man, by nature, I know this, shall not come. But some do come. And sincerely come. They come with a new heart. They come willingly. Thy people shall be willing in the day of power. Who maketh thee the difference? Who made the difference? That's the bottom line right there. Who maketh thee to differ? Was it you or was it God? Who maketh thee to differ? You find out how God can be just and justify a sinner. And you get the answer. How God can be just in punishing sin. Who makes the difference? That's the difference right there. The difference in what we believe and what man by nature doesn't believe. What I by nature don't believe. Let's don't talk about them. Let's talk about me. What's the difference in what I believe by nature and what the Spirit reveals is so to the new heart? That's the difference right there. Okay.